Shalom and welcome to Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, 17 miles east of Branson, Missouri in the boonies. Bless the Lord. But even out here from the boonies, we've broadcast all over the world. So Shelley and I are with you today, and we're going to be talking again about Chesed, covenant conscious.
Exactly. I love how he put it. We live in a world that's lost touch with the value and significance of covenant.
Mm-hmm.
A world where it's often said that covenants, or you could say contracts, are made to be broken. That's what the world thinks. But a world that has little to no clue about what it means to be in covenant relationship, whether those relationships are with spouses or family or business partners or even with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, here's an example. And he took it from the story of Dr. Henry Morton Stanley.
Dr. Stanley, Stanley and Livingston.
Mm-hmm. Sir Henry. And Sir Henry Morton Stanley, what a name. It took him to some unimaginable places. And if you've ever read about him, you remember his story. He was a 19th century Welsh American explorer. He was a journalist. And Stanley was sent to Africa by none other than the New York Herald newspaper. And he was sent to find the famous Dr. David Livingston.
Dr. David Livingston.
Now, what about this Dr. David Livingston?
Who was he?
I thought you would never ask.
No.
Glad you did. Livingston was a Scottish physician.
A doctor, a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm. He was a missionary.
Missionary doctor.
And don't forget, he was an explorer, an overall hero to the British public. And Dr. David Livingston had been missing a grand total of 6 years.
Disappeared 6 years.
So, Sir Henry Stanley was sent to search for and find Dr. Livingston. He soon lost nearly all of his 100-plus member expedition team. How did he lose them? To desertion and disease.
They're in Africa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
He also encountered hostile African tribes that further slowed his efforts. Desperate, Stanley finally needed the advice of his young African interpreter to consider entering a covenant with the chieftain of one particularly powerful warring tribe. At first, Stanley was hesitant to commit to some foreign idea of a peace treaty or an agreement, and he felt uncertain about how it would play out. He almost called the whole thing off.
Because he didn't really understand that like they did.
No.
That whoever advised him, his African advisor, he knew covenant well.
Exactly. So when Stanley found out that this covenant right included that Stanley and the chief were to drink some of each other's blood.
Yuck.
The very thought was revolting. Stanley's attitude changed, though, when his interpreter explained to him that the covenant benefits, quote, "Everything the chieftain has will be yours if you need it," said the interpreter. So with that, Stanley agreed to start the so-called covenant process, and negotiations between the two parties began. Now, first, the tribal chief wanted to know what Stanley's motives for the arrangement were. What was he hoping to get out of their arrangement?
Mm-hmm. What's going to be
the responsibility on your end? So next, the chief began asking Stanley about his resources and also about his ability to keep his end of the agreement. The chief was old and experienced and not about to cut a blood covenant with just anyone. He wanted to know if Stanley was someone he could trust, someone who had significant benefits to offer him in return. Finally, it came down to the moment of exchanging gifts, an important step in covenant making. Stanley was confident that with all the precious trinkets and bales of cotton cloth and other valuable items Stanley and his men brought on their expedition, that the chief would surely be impressed with something that they possessed. And you're right, the chief was. He set his eyes on Stanley's little white goat. The goat was one of Stanley's most prized possessions. Stanley suffered from poor health at the time, and the goat produced milk that seemed to help him. The thought of parting with the goat was particularly challenging. Yet, of all of his possessions, it was the only thing the chief would accept as a gift. So Stanley finally agreed and handed over the little white goat. But what did Stanley receive in exchange? The chief gave Stanley a spear, 7 feet long and wound with copper wire. The reason it was that long was that the chief was nearly that tall. The fact that he was such a big man was one reason he was chief. Stanley's first thought was that he had been cheated by the old chief. This is what his obvious naive interpreter had meant by, quote, "Everything the chieftain has will be yours if you need it." This copper-wired staff, really? Stanley's problem at that moment, much like yours and mine today, is he didn't speak covenant. So initially, the true value and significance of the chief's spear eluded him. But it didn't take Stanley long, however, to figure out that the spear's had a covenant meaning. When Stanley took to the trail and re-entered the bush, he found that he held in his hand a scepter of authority. He had in his possession something that gave him the authority and brought him respect equal to that of a king. From that day on, in the eyes of all the people that Stanley inquired or encountered, Stanley was now 7 feet tall and wrapped in royalty because he had the token of this covenant. Everywhere he went, the people acknowledged it by bowing to Stanley. Why? Because when people saw the spear, they understood that Stanley had a covenant with a chieftain far more powerful than themselves. He had the backing of a king. That revelation of the value of covenant changed Stanley's destiny. A revelation of our covenant book, this word of God, the Holy Bible, will change your destiny and mine as well.
Hallelujah. And he did find Dr. Livingston.
Yes, he did.
And when he did, he said, in the British way or Welsh way, Dr. Livingston, I presume.
Yes.
Now, I caught a phrase in there that Brother Copeland used, speak covenant.
Mm-hmm. Covenant.
There's a covenant language.
There's a vocabulary.
And that language is chesed. It's chesed.
Yes.
That's the language. It's obligatory. Let me read again this translation. A Hebrew word, or this statement by Gleick, a Hebrew word, often translated mercy or steadfast love, is neither mercy nor grace, though both are a part of it. Everything from God's by grace.
Mm-hmm.
It is a word directly tied to one's being in covenant with another. It is an obligatory action because of a covenant relationship. That chief was obliged. If anybody treated Stanley wrong, he was obliged to take all of his mighty warriors and go down and wipe out that tribe. Because of chesed. Chesed is the conduct required in the mutual relationship between allies. The obligations and rights acquired through a covenant are translated into corresponding actions through chesed. Chesed is the real essence of Brit, and it can almost be said that it's its very content. It is the very content of covenant.
Yes.
Now, I went this morning into the ESV on my computer that has a concordance. And I just put in, because they're very, they always translate the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones do mercy, loving kindness, whatever. But they usually do it as steadfast love. So that way I could find the chesed. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I finally just stopped. There are so many. And you talk about David and the Psalms. He called out on that chesed.
Yes, he did.
He used chesed over and over. He would apply to God. Because you're chesed. Because of your chesed.
Exactly.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Here's what I need. Here's what I want. Here's what I expect.
That's right.
Now, there is a scripture in Micah 7:18, and also in another one that I didn't write it down here, but I'll find it later. It says, He, Jehovah God, delights in chesed. He loves to keep chesed.
Yes.
He loves, because you're in covenant, I'm in covenant, mm-hmm. through Jesus Christ and his shed blood,
right.
accepted by the Father, and we're going to go more into that.
Uh-huh.
I'm in covenant with God, and he delights to bless me.
Yes.
He delights. This way, if you understand chesed and you understand covenant, it will take away doubt.
Right.
You will have doubt God wants you healed.
Mm-hmm.
Because chesed.
Right.
You have a covenant of healing. Jesus went on the cross.
Glory.
Isaiah, there's what he did. He took all your sin. He took everything. And it says the Father was pleased to crush him by disease. Why? Because he's going to get mankind. He's going to get a body that's in covenant with him.
Fellowship.
And he delights to prosper you.
Yes.
He delights to make you well.
Oh, yes.
He delights in it.
Chesed. You don't have to talk him into
it. You don't have to talk him into it.
Getting to know the Father.
It is his obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you walk in his covenant.
Yes.
And we walk, you know, when we walk in the law of love.
Walk in the law of
walk
love.
Walk in the law of love. What is required of us in this covenant, you can find it in, it's not that you're going to be saved or born again because of it. But you're going to know covenant blessings.
Exactly.
And it's in all of the letters to the church.
It is.
It'll tell you the great things that belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're seated with God in heavenly places.
Right.
First chapters of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the last, it says, therefore, walk it out.
Mm-hmm. Be imitators of God.
In love, be imitators of God. Walk in love, walk in the light,
forgiving.
Be united, forgive, rejoice. Mm-hmm. See, that's your part. That's your reciprocal part. God's part is everything he said he would do.
Mm-hmm.
He will not alter one word.
And he even put clothing on us. You know, you talk about exchange of covenant clothing.
Yeah.
And in that same book of Ephesians, it says we even have the covenant benefit of the armor of God himself.
The armor of
God. The armor of light. The armor of love. The armor of our Creator.
Hallelujah. Exchange of clothing. That's a part of covenant. Shalom. Two-thirds of these scriptures are prophecy. Most of them have been fulfilled. But we're going to do what Peter says. He says, pay attention to the prophets because they're like a light shining in a dark place.
3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. You can earn your degree with an emphasis in Bible prophecy from one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers of our time. For more information, visit billybrim.org/3BI. Join Dr. Billy Brim and the Worldwide Prayers every Wednesday at noon Central for a time of Spirit-led prayer. Billy Brim now has a YouTube channel. Search under the channel name Official Dr. Billy Brim. Subscribe today and get the latest updates, uploads, and lives to the channel. Feed your faith and walk in the light of the Word.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, post office box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.